healthy life.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. You're listening to the beginning of the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Going to start out this particular hour with my friend Chris Temple. Chris is the publisher of the National Investor Newsletter. Very, very good newsletter. I've known Chris for a long time through ups and downs. I have to say right now, Chris is very definitely on an up. Chris had some very, very astute comments that he made to me before we started recording about his perception of why what Dr. Bernanke is doing is doomed to failure. Chris, you want to explain that to our listeners, please?
Well, sure. One of the things I said in my latest issue, Al, which you saw, was that Ben Bernanke would have done a whole lot better if, rather than worry about becoming a self-professed expert on the causes of the Great Depression 80 or 90 years ago, he would have been better to go a little bit less distance into the past, specifically to the 1970s, and look at what a man named Arthur Burns did as Fed chairman and the mistakes he made that led to high energy prices, double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates, and eventually the necessity for Paul Volcker to come in and clean up that mess, which he only did by causing the most severe recession at that point since the Great Depression. Because I would suggest that in virtually every way, Bernanke right now is repeating the same mistakes that Burns did. Now, for those that forgot a little bit of the history, Arthur Burns was nominated by President Nixon to be Fed chairman. Nixon, of course, famously got rid of the last of what remained at the time of the gold standard in 1971 and turned the U.S. dollar into a free-floating currency. Right after he did that, even though he kicked up a bit of a fuss at the time, rather than take the powers that he indeed still had to defend the value of the dollar, Burns decided to start printing more of them. Now, initially, that gave a little bit of a sugar high, as we've seen recently with Bernanke, and it helped Nixon get reelected in 1972. I'm not going to necessarily get into all of the stuff about whether that's why Bernanke just announced QE3 to save his job and to curry favor with President Obama. That's a different matter. But anyway, that's what Burns did at that time. That continued. After the sugar high wore off, we had a recession in 1973 and 74. The stock market went back down. The dollar was getting hit. We had the beginning of what came to be known as stagflation. And back then, uncannily similar to what Bernanke's rationale is now, the answer that Arthur Burns had was not to shore up the dollar, not to head off price pressures, but let's make them worse. Mm-hmm. And let's print more dollars. And people can remember the rest of the story. Oil prices went up much higher than they might not have. Than they might have otherwise, rather, had all of these dollars not been printed. The federal government was able to run up massive deficits because Arthur Burns accommodated that. He did not require the government to go out and borrow money in the marketplace on an equal footing with everybody else, but he helped to subsidize it. Just like today, Bernanke, with his 0% interest rate policies, letting Congress get away with spending money like a bunch of drunken sailors.
Yeah.
I mean, if the marketplace was punishing them, if there was anything left of the bond market vigilantes, and they'll come back, they certainly aren't here now, we wouldn't have the deficit problems we do in Washington now. So here on that score also, Bernanke is doing just what Arthur Burns did. And so, Al, I think where we're going to end up with this is where we ended up by the time Arthur Burns got done wreaking his damage on the dollar and on the economy. We're going to have a much broader problem with inflation as we go out a few years. At the same time, the economy is not going to come back. You and I talked about this the last time I was on the show. I don't care how much more money Bernanke prints. We've had a generation where people borrowed and spent beyond their means and lived beyond their means. That's got to be digested first.
I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, I've got to tell you, I am amazed that the powers that be, the people who are supposed to be the real experts, quite frankly, Chris, are making what in my mind are such obvious mistakes. It just doesn't work for me. I mean, I have to believe that kicking the can down the road using, you know, kind of a an overused description just isn't
right.
going to work. I mean, yeah, it's going to keep violence in the streets from occurring for some time. But I got to tell you, sooner
or unless you're in Spain or Greece.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we posted some videos on our site earlier in the week, Chris, of what was going on in Greece and in Spain, and it is amazing in supposedly civilized countries. You know, you've got real serious violence going on because people don't realize that at some point you have to pay the piper. Well, if you look at the societies in Greece and in Spain and you compare them to some segments of our society here in the United States, all I can say is, Katie, bar the door, you ain't seen nothing yet.
No, they're just X number of years ahead of us. I don't know how many it is, and neither do you, but
right.
the pattern is the same. And the reason the pattern's the same, Al, and I know that you know this, and our listeners really need to know this, you know, way beyond the question of whether the U.S. dollar or the euro is backed by gold, redeemable in gold, the problem
mm-hmm.
is not those things. The problem is the nature of our system, which is a fractional reserve system.
Exactly.
As time goes on, debts and the interest on those debts have increased exponentially.
Right.
Beyond the ability, you know, it's one thing when entire nations now can't pay back their debt. Now they can't even be serviced. You can sell just about everything that isn't nailed down in Greece and you can't service that debt.
That's right.
So what do you do next? Well, the only thing that the bankers know to do is try and squeeze more.
Yep.
Change the rules. Keep all of these zombie banks and zombie companies and so forth on life support, even on at least on paper. And that buys you a little bit of time, but it doesn't solve anything. And that is what people, at least where the euro is concerned, have learned in the last several days, is that far from the euphoria that was in the markets barely a month ago
mm-hmm.
over there being some kind of a solution, well, some of us knew that there was no solution, and now that's evident again.
Well, there is a solution for some people, in my opinion, and that solution is astute investing. What do
yeah.
you consider to be astute investing right now, Chris? We've got 3 minutes left.
Well, astute investing is, first of all, and I have a checklist. If anyone wants to get a free issue of the National Investor, I'll send them this particular one that tells you how to invest when the inmates are running the asylum, because that's what you have on Wall Street. The first rule is do no harm. And when you've got a situation right now, Al, where you can make a case for stocks to go up 25% or to go down 25%, and both of them sound pretty sensible,
mm-hmm.
you've got to be careful. You don't go real heavily bullish. You don't go real heavily bearish. A big theme I'm talking about, though, beyond that, is that, as I said at the beginning of the segment, Bernanke is repeating step by step everything Arthur Burns did. And what's going to happen invariably is that investors will eventually do the same.
Right.
The point's going to come where first institutional investors will do this, and they are already doing it, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the retail investors will. They're going to look and say, look, I've been putting my money in a CD paying 60 basis points or in government, U.S. government long-term debt paying 2% or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's the least painful and least risky thing to do. But as time goes on, and we're not too far from this, that's going to become more painful because inflation is going to become a broader problem.
Mm-hmm.
And just as people did in the 70s, investors will look and say, all right, where am I going to defend or protect my purchasing power now? Not the number of dollars, but will I be able to buy the same thing in 3 or 5 or 10 years? And they'll do what they did in the 1970s. They'll look at what's real.
Yeah.
Gold is leading that charge, and I'm long-term, I'm a gold bug. And not because I am by nature, but because central banks continue to print money. But what else is out there? Food, energy, water, a lot of things like that. And people are going to be forced. And I'm not saying that commodities will go up because the economy is doing well. They're going to go up because the economies will not turn around. We're going to have a very insidious form of stagflation. And people will look and say, all right, what's real? What do I spend money on that's going up in price? Who produces this stuff, preferably better than their competition?
Mm-hmm.
Where is their stock traded? Or how do I buy these commodities to protect myself? Don't jump in there with both feet yet, because we've still got some near-term dangers of things turning down. But that's what you want to be thinking of, at least in the back of your mind.
Absolutely no question about that. Listen, we have a banner for Chris under our favorite site section, the National Investor. You want more information? Click the banner. You're going to get all that you want. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you like cow's milk, you'll love camel milk.
Yes, the newest, oldest thing in the world.
Camel milk has sustained civilizations for thousands of years. Here's just one user's testimonial.
My Lyme-stricken boy developed severe allergies to nearly every food he ingested. At first, I was scared to death to try camel milk, but he had no allergic reactions of any kind, nothing. The camel milk was wondrous in healing his GI issues, and it's the one thing I can attribute to his getting out of bed after almost a year spent there, too ill to do anything.
Camel milk is loaded with health benefits, far superior to other milk, is rich in B vitamins, and 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, Humpback Dairies of Miller, Missouri. To order, call this number, 1-417-848-7570. That's 1-417-848-7570. Call 1-417-848-7570 for camel milk, the best kept health secret ever.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We're introducing a new company right now. The company is our newest sponsor. It is called Revolution Resources. I have Aaron Kay on the line with me right now. You know, Marshall told me, Marshall Barrow, who will be wrapping up the show with me here, told me that he had met Aaron, a few months back, a year back or whatever. He said, I have an interest in that company. I'm glad they're coming down to San Francisco because I really want to get an update. But Revolution is interesting in the sense that they have a property in South Carolina, which is really, really interesting in my mind simply because I like companies that have properties that are located in the United States. Revolution also has some assets in Mexico, and as you folks are aware from past shows that I've done, Kathy and I are also pretty heavily invested in Mexico. We like that area down there. At this moment in time, in the interest of full disclosure, I do not own any shares in Revolution. If I decide to buy some, and I probably will down the road, I'll give you my normal 3 days notice. Aaron, thanks so much. I know you're a busy guy, man. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. Look forward to giving your audience an update.
Rather than an update, let's start at the very beginning. Tell us a little bit about what Revolution Resources is all about.
I think the best introduction I can give, especially for an American audience, is that we have had a lot of success in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the second, perhaps most prominent company to go into the Carolina Sleep Belt. I think a lot of your listeners are pretty familiar with a company called Marco. They're moving towards permitting. They've got nearly a 5 million ounce resource. They've just had some permit overhang over the stock the last year, and it definitely affected us. We had a fantastic first year of exploration in North Carolina. Next year, we're going to move towards doing our first initial resource in the area, and we've had a lot of success initially just first in North Carolina.
I know Remarco actually quite well, and I guess what I'd like to find out right now is a little bit more about specifically what you folks are doing in North Carolina, and then we'll switch down to Mexico.
Right now, we're going to start to ramp things up again. As I think a lot of people can understand, the exploration market has been pretty difficult for companies the last, call it 12 to 18 months. We've been lucky to be well-funded, and where we've been able to raise a lot of money. But I'd say, you know, on the whole, when Remarco started to go through some of their permitting issues, you know, we needed to take a step back. We saved some of our capital so that when the Remarco story became a little bit more in vogue, per se, and people started to pay attention to it again, that we were in a position where we could go back to work. And I'd say later this year, early Q1 is when I think we're going to start to get drilling again in the Carolinas. After the summer, which was probably one of the worst summers we've seen, I mean, it was probably worse than 2008, especially for the mining space. You know, Remarco share price has doubled in the last couple of weeks, as has ours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks to the prior work that both companies did previously. Whereas there hasn't been a ton of juniors that have, you know, doubled in the last couple of weeks without doing anything significant, whether it's from a drilling program or a financing effort or a merger. But both us and Remarco, I think, as they move along their permitting conquest, I think we're going to be put into that same type of light, and that's why I think people are starting to dive back into the stock. We've had an increase in trading volume, so I definitely think that people are anticipating us getting back to work in North Carolina.
Interesting. Okay, Mexico.
Mexico was something we picked up about a year ago now. Your listeners might remember a company called West Timmins that was purchased by Lakeshore. We picked up a very sizable early-stage exploration asset that comes with four different properties in Mexico. We've done some early-stage drilling. We've had some reasonable success. I think it fell in a time when, you know, grassroots discoveries weren't, you know, the flavor of the month, so to speak, a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that could be another contributor to why people are, you know, starting to acquire the Revolution stock again. High-grade type vein, classic discovery. If you take our main property called Universo, it's surrounded by some of Mexico's largest mines. You've got Goldcorp's Peñasquito, Camino Rojo, the Cerro San Pedro. You've got a large zinc mine by Grupo. You've got First Majestic Silver, Mag Silver, all of these groups in the exact same trend.
You know, one thing I find impressive about your company, you know, specifically when you talk about Mexico, and in my opinion, Peter McGaw is probably the foremost expert in terms of what's going on in Mexico. I've known Peter for about 10 years. My wife and I actually are very interested, perhaps, in spending some time down in Tucson, where Peter and his family live in the winters. But Peter is on your advisory board, and I think that speaks wonders of the company, for lack of better terms. Now, our listeners are pretty familiar with Peter because he's been on the show a number of times. But let's talk a little bit about the rest of your advisory board.
Yeah, I think I'd even just go further than our advisory board.
Well,
I think we've got a hell of a management team in the sense that our VP of exploration and head geologist, Rob McLeod, is what obviously made one of the first discoveries that kicked off the Yukon rush,
mm-hmm.
When he made the discovery at White Gold for Underworld that was, you know, recently sold to Kinross. Michael Williams was the chairman of that company as well. So, you know, those two I think are great. Pete Evans is a fantastic addition to our group in Carolina. He worked at the largest past producing mine in the Slate Belt, the old Kennecott Ridgeway mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then our advisory board, yeah, we really put that together post the Mexican acquisition to speak to the volume and the size of the portfolio that we had and the expertise. I mean, Darren Wagner was the former CEO of West Timmins and the last CEO to do any work on these properties. Peter, obviously, I've done a deal with Peter 5 years ago on another Mexican company. He was a big catalyst in us working together on this. And then Hugh Wilson from Capstone. Obviously, Capstone has a fantastic operation in Mexico. Hugh did a ton of the due diligence with Rob and Joey Wilkins before we made this. So we've put together a great team from an exploration standpoint for sure.
Well, there's no question about that. You know, in management, as Marshall Barrow is going to bring out in the last segment, we talk about the criteria that that his firm, the investment of the Encompass Fund, looks at when they're investing in companies. Management certainly is very important. And I have to tell you, I've been investing in these companies for over 30 years. And not being a technical guy, being a bit of a financial guy, and certainly I have insight into people's integrity, personalities, etc. And I think that it really is all about people. How's the company set for money?
Not bad. I think you'll see two things either happen. I just obviously, as I think I mentioned, gotten back from a trip into Europe where we have a fantastic shareholder base. We've got a great institutional shareholder base, which I think will resonate well with anyone listening. Sun Valley Gold, one of the largest gold funds,
mm-hmm.
Is one of our biggest shareholders, 17%. Kinross owns 10%. Then you've got the Dundees, the U.S. Globals, Precious Metals. So we've got a great base. We're sitting just under $2 million in cash right now. I think what we consider doing in the next little while is we might do something corporately on some of the stuff we have in Mexico, because even when we did that acquisition, we were never going to take all those projects forward.
Right.
And if we do go back to market, and the way that I financed a company in the past, it's always been through the institutional community. We would only probably consider something with our existing shareholders right now. We are in a pretty decent position for cash to hopefully ride out or at least start to see this exploration market come back.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Revolution, interest of full disclosure. They are sponsors on our site. What does that mean? That means if you want more information on this company, click on the banner. Big Al doesn't own shares in the company yet, but he will be buying some down the road. And I'll give you my standard 3 days notice. Stick around. I'm going to be right back with Rick Ackerman.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. As promised, I have Rick Ackerman with me right now. Hey, you guys, if you're not reading Rick's material, you really should. And this isn't an advertisement. This is a real strong personal opinion of mine. Rick has a very, very great service. It's called Rick's Picks. If you want to get more information about it, go to our favorite sites, which you can access from our homepage. And Rick is in there. Take a look at what he has to say. I mean, I've known this guy now for almost 7 or 8 years, and I'll tell you, he's pretty right on, one of the best technicians in the world. You know, Rick and I recorded some material for Kitco last Thursday, and Rick brought up the fact that really, in reality, we are right now moving. I mean, events are showing, actual events are showing that we are moving to a de facto gold standard on an international level when it comes to currency. He brings out the fact that Turkey is purchasing most of its oil from Iran right now. And payment isn't in petrodollars. Payment is gold. This is going on all around the world right now. Rick, can you elaborate a little bit for us?
I think that the countries are Turkey, for one, but obviously, there are others, China. They'd rather not be on the dollar standard.
Right.
The dollar reserve standard that's essentially been in effect since 1944 has worked to the favor of the U.S., but to everyone else's disfavor. So even though by declaration no country can usurp the reserve currency, they can slowly arrange payment for the thing that everybody buys and sells, and that's energy, make payment in gold. So that's what's happened. I saw a reference to it was gold outflow from Turkey, and it's quite a bit of gold, really, to buy Iranian energy. This would be both natural gas and oil. And I think there are similar arrangements right now between energy buyers, China for one. I'm not sure about India, but, you know, it's one way of getting away from the dollar.
Yeah, I'd say one big way for getting away from the dollar. You know, I became very, very interested in this trend back in about 1996 when mainland China came out and said, you know, we strongly suggest and would really like the world to go in a direction of a different reserve currency. The U.S. dollar really is not an effective on an international level, really isn't an effective reserve world currency anymore. There were some very serious discussions between China and Sarkozy of France regarding that issue, and I think it is personally a natural event that is simply going to occur, and that is I think that the U.S. dollar is going to no longer be the reserve world currency in a very short period of time. You think I'm nuts?
Well, I think it's going to take a little time to evolve away from it because it's not really a choice that the countries make. It's something they've sort of immersed themselves in. Everybody holds dollar reserves. And, of course, even while there's this talk about moving away from the dollar standard,
mm-hmm.
You have a lot of countries that are not only locked in, but there's still a torrent of foreign money going into our treasuries. Less so because China is buying fewer U.S. bonds with U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But just the same, you know, you hear this business about the dollar being a safe haven. And compared to, let's say, Europe and many other spots in the world that print money, the U.S. is still the king.
Yeah, it really is. What do you think about the fact, by the way, that the GDP growth was revised downward? I think that's really interesting. It's kind of showing, really, the mess that the United States is in really isn't even coming close to being solved. Any comments on that?
Well, the government can sort of put things wherever they want.
Yeah.
Just statistically speaking, but I don't think anyone's fooled. You know, you can see that whatever good the monetization is done, QE1 and QE2, it's benefited the banking system more than people in general. And
mm-hmm.
I think because the economy itself is two-thirds retail or consumption, you need to look around and see where things are consumed. Strip malls, vacancy rate at malls, both large and small, is still very high. So, and I'm seeing at a local level, a lot of restaurants are making changes. You know, people aren't spending as much and drinking as much in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
So, sort of at the ground level, you can see that that the economy is not really humming.
Well, then you look at the jobless claims though, that came out on Thursday, for example, and you know, Bloomberg said in a positive sign, this is a direct quote, in a positive sign, layoffs eased sharply in the September 22nd week based on initial jobless claims, which fell a very sharp 26,000 to 359, whereas the prior week was 385,000. I have to tell you, I personally agree with John Williams, you know, the genius in my mind behind Shadow Stats, but I think the numbers that you're looking at really aren't reflecting the truth right now. It's just too many people are not being counted that should be counted. I mean, they're just the definitions that we're seeing in jobless claims seems to, you know, I don't think is particularly accurate. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, some of these numbers come out and they're spun positively, and
right.
You discover that unemployment is looking better simply because so many people have given up looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, when you look at the big numbers, the percentage of the workforce that's actually employed at this point, we're very much underutilizing human resources. So again, you know, they're the statistics, but they're the things that people see in their lives. And the economy has definitely been struggling for a long, long time. And there's also the question of the quality of jobs that are being created.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, as also was brought out on Thursday, durable goods orders, you know, durable goods for long-lasting U.S. manufactured goods, which are durable goods by definition, in August fell by the largest amount that they've fallen in 3.5 years. So this is, you know, it's not good. I'll tell you, if the president had to run, your favorite guy, if he had to run on his record in terms of what's going on with the economy, I don't think he'd get he'd get a few votes, but he sure as heck wouldn't win the election.
Well, he should say, thank heaven you don't have to run on the record. You can just make the whole thing for the last 2 years all about the slander and I don't know, I would say some bald-faced lies out there, but it's true that Obama Obama has definitely avoided talking about the record.
He definitely has avoided talking about the record. I know that he's not one of your favorite people, nor mine. Neither one of us are saying that he's a terrible human being, because I don't think that's the case. But boy, I sure don't approve of his agenda. What are you telling your subscribers? I mean, you know, we've painted kind of a grim picture here, Rick. What are you telling your subscribers they ought to do to protect themselves and their loved ones?
I mentioned one time we spoke before the corporate scene. Corporate bonds, though, have been pretty well picked over.
Mm-hmm.
And at the heart of it, you could say that people trust bonds and good companies like IBM and Safeway more than they do the Treasury paper.
Mm-hmm.
But, the prices of these bonds have gone through the roof. The yields are very low. And I think it's a dangerous sign that companies are out there in the bond markets borrowing money that they manifestly don't need. They're even saying it. They're saying, we don't need to borrow, but it's so cheap now, why not? So I have a feeling that all that $2 trillion in corporate surplus is somehow never going to get used or spent. It's going to be part of that deflationary offset to an imploding asset bubble. So I guess this is one of those times where you really can't think in terms of yield. You got to just protect your money. It can be in gold, silver, coins. And obviously the mining stocks have finally started to perk up, so there's some great values there. You know, that could be 30 to 40% of your portfolio right there, the physical metal and the mining stocks. So it's time to get out of treasuries. We may have had a major top there, and we could be in a bear market falling a 30-year bull market. So it's just a good time to focus on safety rather than yield, just preserving capital.
I think it's a great time to focus on safety. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that part of that equation very definitely has to do with, you know, if you're in debt, get out as much as you possibly can. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be right back. I do want to suggest, again, take a look at Rick's site. Find out more about this fellow. You can do that by simply going on our homepage to our favorite sites section, and Rick Ackerman will be there front and center. I'm going to be right back.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. Got Marshall Barrell on the line with me right now. You know, Marshall, number one, is a very, very knowledgeable guy when it comes to the resource industry, whether you're talking about the commodities themselves or whether you're talking about the companies. He and his partner, Malcolm Gissen, are co-founders of the Encompass Fund, which we've gotten a fair amount of inquiries about. The Encompass Fund is it's a mutual fund. It is a very diversified fund, but the majority of the investments in terms of companies are in what I would call resource-based companies. And the fund has done very well over the years. And what I wanted to do, since we're all here interested in investing in resource companies, is I wanted Marshall to explain a little bit about what he and Malcolm and their analytical staff look at before they take a position in a company. Mr. Barrell, you're on, sir.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners, Al. What we look for, the Encompass Fund, which you as mentioned, is a mutual fund. It's a no-load mutual fund and readily available, and full disclosure, any kind of performance figures given are past records and don't necessarily indicate what will happen in the future, as well as we have a website where people can get additional information, www.encompassfund.com, and the ticker symbol is ENCPX, Edward Nancy Charles Paul X-ray. And as you say, we're not solely a resource fund or gold or natural resources. There is some diversification. The fund can invest in any market cap size company, meaning from the very largest to the very smallest. We've tended towards the smaller companies, the junior mining companies in the mining area, because the objective for the Encompass Fund is long-term capital appreciation, and we feel there's better risk-reward opportunities in smaller companies generally than in larger companies. Having said that, when we're looking at a company, whether it's a small company or a large company, whether it's in production or exploring, whether it's in the resource area or elsewhere, we look at several basic matters, and I can go into each of these in more detail. We look at the management. We look at what the company is doing or attempting to do. We look at the finances. We look at the history of the company and the management. And it's particularly important with the smaller companies. If you're invested in a Freeport-McMoRan Copper and Gold, for example, a very large company, a multi-billion dollar market cap, significant revenues, significant earnings, followed by a number of analysts on Wall Street, you can get a lot of information and you can make your own decision. When you get to the smaller companies, a mid-cap may have some analyst coverage, may have some reports out there. Small caps companies, and when I talk about small cap, I'm talking about generally, say, $1 billion or less, and the micro caps are even smaller. Maybe, depends on definition, $250 million or $100 million or even less. The smaller companies often don't have analysts following them, and you need to look at the companies. If you have an opportunity to listen to conference calls, that's helpful. If you have an opportunity to go to a conference, that's very, very helpful. You can meet the management. You can learn more about the company. With the smaller companies particularly, we feel that management is extremely important. Who they are, what they've done in the past, what their track record is, who's running the company, who are on the members of the board of directors, and as I say, their history and their track record. Those are very, very important. And does it track what the company is attempting to do? And when I say attempting to do, you have some companies that are exploration companies. They're out there, they're walking over the land, they're kicking the rocks, they're taking some samples, and pure exploration. Then beyond that, you get into some discovery. They feel there's some commodity that's in the ground, and whether it's gold or silver or copper or oil or gas or uranium or whatever it is. And then they're going to start doing some exploration work and some drilling, figuring out where to drill and how. Then beyond that is figuring out, do they have enough economic stuff, whatever the stuff is, in the ground to make it worthwhile, and then start planning for building a mine and the environmental work, the permitting work, the construction work down the road, and ultimately putting the mine into operation and producing. And so you want people in management that have done the types of things that fit the stage that the company is at, whether it's beginning exploration or full-out production. We also look at what the project is. Is it gold? Is it silver? What's the commodity, or is it several commodities? The location is very important and gets more important, the location of where the project is or projects. Some companies focus on one project. It's a good project, and they'll focus their activities there. Other companies will have several projects that they're working on simultaneously. So you want to see how focused they are, and do they have, the manpower and the management to move forward with several projects if that's what they're doing. The location is very important. Increasingly, we're seeing geopolitical risks, potential nationalizations, companies saying they want greater taxes or more royalties, countries where there are problems with the local peoples and the governments, are they tending to side with the local peoples? Are they tending to observe contracts and agreements that have been made in the past? And again, increasingly, this is an important factor because in many parts of the world, there have been and there are increased difficulties and problems. And we can run off the countries recently, Argentina and Bolivia, of course, for a long time, Venezuela. There's problems in Mexico. There are problems in many, many areas. In the United States, there's permitting problems in most areas. In Canada, there's permitting problems in some areas. There's the nature of where the project is and how remote it is and what is their infrastructure. Do they going to have to bring in roads, bring in power, bring in water? If so, how difficult is it going to be? How expensive? How long is it going to take? Those types of factors about the location of the project. And then another important area is the financial aspects. And in that regard, how well funded is the company to do what they want to do currently, whether it's exploration, pure exploration, or it's drilling, or it's constructing a mine, or it's operations and the maintenance and the upkeep and the expansion of the existing mine. What's the balance sheet look like? How much cash do they have on hand? How much debt do they have? Some companies have no debt. Some companies have some debt. What's the nature of the debt? Are they going to need to raise money? An extremely important factor these days, and really at any time, but particularly these days, because there's less bank lines available. The equity investors, the stock investors that buy new issues of companies are less inclined to buy because of the volatility of the markets, because the stock markets have not kept up with the price gains of the commodities, the underlying commodities. So companies that are needing to raise cash these days to sell more stock or raise cash by some debt have greater difficulty. So if they're going to need to raise money, how are they going to do it? How likely are they to be able to accomplish it? Do they have a strong current supportive group of shareholders, whether it's the management or other investors or institutions or some combination? When I say institutions, I'm talking about mutual funds or hedge funds or insurance companies. The Encompass Fund does participate in the private placements of companies. So it is all those factors: management, the project, the location, the financials, that are important to look at and make a evaluation as to how strong is this company and how likely are they to meet their goals and objectives.
And there you have it from Marshall Barrow. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this week's show. It was a ball putting it together.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we have all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is, you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.